Good evening, this is Mae Brussel. The title of this one-hour broadcast is World Watchers. It is program number 810, June the 15th, 1987. David Emery, who has a broadcast on KFJC and KKUP and puts World Watchers on those stations, brought me this past weekend a couple of pages that some listener was sharing with him from the Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections from Ohio. It was put out by James Rhodes, the governor of Ohio, signed November the 14th, 1975. And what was listed on two pages were publications not to be permitted in the institutions that the guards were to screen out. And of the 59 publications listed on the two pages, there are very few political items. One is the LA Free Press, and one is Free Martin Sostre. He was in prison in New Jersey, a political activist, and the Philadelphia Digest. The rest were magazines for homosexuals, and they were keeping them from inside the prison, such as Barbarians, Black Room for Swingers, Best of the San Francisco Ball, Black Dragon, Fighting Society, and so forth. But number 29 on this list of books that are publications that could be not be sent into the prison was listed King Alfred Dash, National Security Council, which is a total misfit in this list of publications because there's no publication put out by the National Security Council. And on the anniversary of the birth of Martin Luther King this year, I read on the air, as I do from time to time, the document that was obtained from the National Security Council or someone in it on the plans to vaporize and kill all blacks in America. Now, I look back at the year 1975. I was very active in prison work at that time from 1970 through 75, about that time period. And I went to Ohio to speak. John Judge had arranged for me to speak at the university there at Dayton. And then he went with me out in the country, way out outside of Dayton. There's a large prison. And I visited a prisoner there who I'd been corresponding with and was interested in my research and things I had written. And so I went to see him and then went back to Dayton and then flew up to Minneapolis to visit with a friend. And the friend I visited just coincidentally happened to be the one who had the King Alfred plan, the one that I got it from. It was among his belongings. And he is the person it was given to. So that, in a world of coincidences, I just want to bring it up because I was in the prison around between April and May of 75, in that time period. And then November 75, they're stated on number 29, publications not to be permitted. Of course, we know King Alfred National Security Council isn't a publication, but I just wonder why that was inserted. It was inserted there for a reason, and I'll try and write to the Department of Rehabilitation in Ohio and see if they have any recall or memos on why it was there. Last week, I just mentioned briefly how Tom Hayden was supposed to speak at a very small college out here in San Jose City College, and he was to partake of the graduation ceremony. It was canceled because of the Vietnamese community. There were 1,100 students in the college, and out of 13,000 students, 1,100 are Vietnamese. Luckily, he showed up. I think he did the right thing, because when you bow down to the wishes of those people who were offended because he took a position during the Vietnam War that was opposed to those people's activities during the Vietnam War, it doesn't mean that either one was right or wrong. The police establishment, the military establishment, the ruling people, Diem Thu, the leaders of the Vietnamese government were oppressive. They were exploitive. They were brought over lots of gold and narcotics traffic has been linked to them. And I'm not saying these people are involved in that, but a lot of people were brought over from South Vietnam who are collecting a lot of money, intelligence, and so forth to go back and invade that country someday. They're open about that. But I think that Tom Hayden made the right decision. It would be a dark day for our democracy to bow down to people who say that you can't be there because I didn't like what you did in our country, considering why they're here is because of what they did to their own country. So he did show up. There's an article in the San Jose Mercury that there should be an explanation by the heads of the college, an editorial, the war over Hayden. And then this week, just a couple of days ago, the San Jose Mercury had a story that an apology ended the rift. The Vietnamese Americans called off a boycott. They were going to take their students out of that college, and millions of dollars, a large amount of millions of dollars per student, it was listed, get money to go to that place. And the Department of the Education in California is paying very nicely to see that they get a good education, and they've called off their boycott of not going to that college and offering a bait, I guess, to another college where you can also influence who speaks at graduation. I would hope not. I hope this ends it once and for all. Several months ago, I talked about a set of teachers in California, in San Bernardino County, who were arrested because they hired Franklin Camper and his outfit to do a firebombing in two garages where two of their teachers were that they didn't like. They didn't like the teachers. They had fired them. And one lady was the head of a chain of private nursery schools. And thinking in terms of little itty-bitty children at nursery school, and she brings probably one of the top terrorist trainers in the whole United States, the same ilk as G. Gordon Liddy and the special forces that Mr. Corkle and Frank Turple and Edwin Wilson were associated with, these terrorist activity centers that send weapons and ammunition and train in the United States. Well, Franklin Camper was arrested. He did come to California. I didn't believe that he would be really given a harsh sentence. The teacher was given 2 years, but according to the LA Times, Camper was sentenced to 14 years in prison for his role in the firebombing. Now, Camper links to Robert Vesco and the Crystal River group that were planning the invasion of Dominica. He also links to the Sikhs who were trained at his camp for blowing up the Air India and the explosion on the Japanese plane that was going to India that blew up at the airport. Only a few people were killed, not the whole plane going down. So they have Camper locked up. He worked for the FBI and the CIA, and I really can't believe, very quietly, on one of the back pages of the LA Times, he did get 14 years. He may be out in 6 years on good behavior, but that is really locking up one of the biggies. The Liberty Lobby magazine newspaper had a large picture, quarter of a page, meet famous attorney Mark Lane to speak at the confab. Liberty Lobby, of course, is run by Willie Cardo, one of the near close to avowed Nazis in the United States. And he has a foundation in California that says the Holocaust didn't exist. Most of you know the politics of Liberty Lobby, and you know that Mark Lane has been their attorney for a long time. But they had a celebration in Washington. They said, come and have the opportunity to meet the famed civil libertarian Mark Lane at the Stouffer Concourse Hotel in Arlington, Virginia. They're having a powwow of people getting together. Oh, they're advertising ahead. It's going to be in September. If you want to meet the famous Lane, and they're proud of him. He's their attorney, the man who published, wrote Rush to Judgment. Very interesting, because starting in 1967, as I've said before, I used to send out in my mail slips of paper telling the Nazi connections to the Kennedy assassination that were suppressed by Mark Lane. And he now only not only represents Willie Cardo and Liberty Lobby, but they're having a big party, and he's the guest speaker, and they're proud of their lawyer, and I'm sure they both love each other. There's an article in the paper this morning that shows a new turning point in the way media and events are covering material now that should have been stated more clearly before, but every day there's a new stepping stone towards awareness of things happening. This came out of Panama City, and Mr. Noriega says the unrest is caused by foreigners there, the riots. And he said they don't want Panama to gain control of the Panama Canal. The traditional enemies of Panama think it's a colony of theirs. They're manipulating and supporting the destabilization of Panama. There have been riots there since last week. Diaz Herrera, 49, accused Mr. Noriega, on the other hand, of involvement in the 1981 plane crash of General Omar Torrijos, who seized power in 1960 in a 68 coup. On Friday, Diaz Herrera called Torrijos' death a CIA plot involving a bomb aboard the plane, and claimed the Reagan administration was also involved in that particular death. Now, Reagan administration means George Bush, a CIA director who worked with the people who killed Orlando Letelier, who blew up Air Cuba, and Bush has been called by me for years Killer Bush, because of his relationship to a lot of murders. But now they're out in the open, at least in the open, saying that the Trujillo's death was caused by the CIA. A bomb was planted, and people in the Reagan administration had a role in it. Diaz Herrera, the recently retired Defense Forces chief of staff, had said that Noriega, with the knowledge of the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency, was involved in drug sales. Noriega previously blamed the allegations that he was behind trafficking, arms dealing, and election fraud on elements of the United States opposed to the 1977 Canal Treaty. Well, they're having a fight in Panama, and Jesse Helms is a part of that, and there are a lot of elements fighting in Panama, but as the fighting goes out, we see in the media the accusations of the Reagan administration being involved with the people who killed the president of Panama at one time, General Omar Torrijos, and the CIA involving drug traffic and gun running, and all of that is happening in Panama, but they're fingering people in the Reagan administration, and the team working for Reagan have been a team going way back from the invasion of Guatemala and the Bay of Pigs and the overthrow of Mossadegh and so forth. Before I get on to Iran-Contra affairs, I do have some things I want to update. The San Francisco Chronicle last week on January 8th had a long article, Can We Govern Evolution? It's a two-page article, the half of the entire newspaper, one page. And it tells about advanced genetic sciences trying to put their spray, their altered bacteria, on strawberries. And the lady who's spraying there, all covered up, you've seen her famous picture everywhere, announced this week that the spraying was a great success. Julian Lindemann, not covered up in blue jeans, is pointing to the ground and saying, this is a great success. But the important thing about this article that was published on AGS, this is the quotation, spraying antifreeze solution on strawberries, as happened in a field out near Mount Diablo the other day, hardly seems like an earth-shaking matter. But it may be the first step in a historic venture that's taking the human race into uncharted territory, a move more momentous than Neil Armstrong's first step on the moon. Now, maybe they're exaggerating, maybe I didn't give it enough importance, but I gave it a lot of importance, and all of a sudden, as they begin spraying, this is a momentous event, even more so than going to the moon. So goodness knows what is on the spray. The same article says, it's a long article, I just want to give you one of the quotations. The East Bay Company, Advanced Genetic Sciences, which sells the SnowMax bacteria to ski operators, it's known as SnowMax, and it holds the ice so that it's good for skiing, holds it together, is a small company out of the East Bay in Oakland. Now, that's the way they pass it off, as a small company in the East Bay in Oakland. But I refer you again to New York Times, March the 6th, 1986, and there's a picture of Joseph Bouquert, the chief executive of AGS, B-O-U-C-K-E-R-T. And the article from the New York Times explains that Mr. Bouquert commutes between Belgium and Oakland, that he's from Belgium, and he is the head of the genetic systems there in Belgium, a Belgian company of which AGS owns a third. And he runs both companies in Belgium and in Oakland, flies back and forth every 2 weeks. And then the company has investments again. AGS raised $24 million, much of it from Roman Haas and Hillsburg AB, a Swedish company, each of which owns 16% and went public on the stock market in 83. Mr. Bouquert plans to settle in California, and he's hired a public relations firm, book, and company to build up the image of AGS. Last year, AGS got a desperately needed cash infusion, $4 million from a Swedish company, Caramis Shams, Ole Fabriker AB. It's trying to win research contracts from large companies. It already has agreements with Roman Haas, DuPont, Stanford Oil. So these are not small companies, and again, it was passed off as a little Oakland company that wanted to keep strawberries from freezing, and then after they sprayed it for one day, the San Francisco Chronicle had an article last Tuesday, East Bay microbe test called a success. Now, for all the controversy, how could you tell in 2 to 3 weeks whether or not what they wanted was a success? And they keep playing as a little company, and then all of a sudden it's more important than when we landed the moon. So there's more to AGS and what they sprayed or what they intend to do if it's more important than landing to the moon. Not that one person has the final word, but those flowing adjectives about the experiment and what it was doing suggested that it could be a big breakthrough, but we haven't seen the advantages of landing to the moon yet, and there may be disadvantages to putting genetically altered bacteria on your food. Now, this Wednesday night, it will be over for some of you, most of you who get the tapes of World Watchers later, but for those who listen currently on Wednesday night, Edwin Wilson is going to have an interview with Larry King, and I'm sure you will have read about it in the press or have seen it by now. Prisoner 08237054 is speaking out of Marion, Illinois, and he's talking about his partners that are involved in the Iran-Contra affair. General Secord, a high official in the United States Air Force, a major general, and Thomas Kleins, the CIA official, Theodore Shackley. They were all partners in that company called EATSCO, Egyptian American Transport and Service Company, and they were all given a slap on the wrist by the Justice Department, and there's a brief description of the company in Time magazine June 15th, and Edwin Wilson says that Secord and Shackley and Eric von Marbord, a former Defense Department official, were all partners. Now, von Marbord was tapped by Frank Carlucci to work with him with the Sears company that made arms and weapons after Frank Carlucci left the Defense Department. Before he became National Security Advisor, he had an interim where he plucked Eric von Marbord out from the middle of this team, and Carlucci is the watchdog at the White House. He's their Doberman looking to see who touches his partners because he worked with Kleins and Secord and Edwin Wilson and so forth. This is the group that Ollie North tapped. And Wilson said, if I'm guilty of taking money and of funding the terrorists of Libya, they're arming Iran. And he said, if I got 52 years, Ollie North ought to get 300. And Edwin Wilson had an interview for Time, and he will be on the air. There's another article about him last January as the arrests were moving along, not the arrests, the investigations of people. There's been no arrests yet. But Edwin Wilson told about his working with these people. And again, this came out of the Stanford Technology Group and how they took $8 million out of a $71 million contract of shipping arms to Egypt. And at the time in 1979, I said that part of those weapons were going to the PLO instead of to Egypt, and Wilson identified his partners and Eric von Marbord last January, the business partner of our current national security advisor, and right away he was talking about those things. I'm sure he will have more on the air, or you will have heard more. Now, we have an organization in California. I don't know if there's national chapters or not. It's called the World Affairs Council, and they're very conservative people. It's formed by members of the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco and the Bohemian Grove up in Santa Rosa. And a member of the World Affairs Council was in Monterey, Carmel, at having their monthly meeting, a luncheon. And I want to read to you what he had to say. It was in the Monterey Herald, and it's very important that I don't leave a word out of the article that they reprinted in the paper today. Now, this same World Affairs Council is the one who was going to have Mr. Duarte from El Salvador. And there were going to be thousands of people down here to demonstrate. So the visit was called off. This is what Leslie Lipson told them at the luncheon on Saturday. The title is Invisible Government Upsets the Balance of Powers. And again, this is Leslie Lipson from the University of California, a professor who taught there and a member of the board, a trustee of the World Affairs Council of Northern California. See if this sounds like Mae Brussel. This is what he said. The balance of power among the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of the U.S. government has been upset by the emergence of an invisible government, and it is now tipped in favor of the presidency, according to a scholar of political affairs who spoke Saturday in Carmel Valley. Leslie Lipson, Professor Emeritus of University of California and Trustee of the World Affairs Council of Northern California, spoke, and this topic was the Constitution and the conduct of our foreign policy. He said the United States is celebrating the bicentennial of its Constitution at a time of constitutional crisis due to the abuses of executive power in the conduct or misconduct of foreign policy. The history of republics and democracies from Athens and Rome through Great Britain and France has shown that such governments do not do well in resolving the contradiction between the practice of democracy at home and the control of empires abroad. Americans are confronting the same problem as they exercise power in imperial dimensions. He said it is straining the Constitution to the breaking point. The adversary relationship between the United States and the Soviet Union has developed since 1945 and has created the arms race and a massive espionage effort. I might add that the real crack in the Constitution or the power of the president getting the most power, it did come after World War II with the National Security Council, but the illegal rearming of Germany when the Soviet Union came into being and was seemed like it was going to be staying there by 1919 with the help of Herbert Hoover and Congress and the multinational bankers and corporations, the illegal rearming of Germany, putting Hitler, Mussolini, and Franco, was the first problem, and not being able to get rid of them and bringing their agents here became the second problem. Back to what he's saying, though. The result has been, he's saying, since World War II, has been the growth of a new level of government, an invisible government in the form of the intelligence agencies. Whatever their initials, whether CIA, DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, NSA, National Security Administration, or NSC, National Security Council, these shadow governments share the characteristics of secrecy and lack of accountability. And up until now, all the emphasis I'm inserting here has been on the CIA, and he is saying the DIA, the NSA, and the NSC, and those are really the places to look. He said their products, covert operations, and prevalence of lies have resulted in the destruction of trust in government and the potential for authoritarian regime operating through fear. They are accountable to no man or woman, I insert. The President of the United States, they are accountable to one man, rather. And I think they're to no one but themselves. But they're accountable to one man, the President of the United States, and have grown under the authority of current and past presidents of both parties who have used and abused their powers and facilities to produce three national scandals in 20 years. These include Lyndon Johnson's undeclared war in Vietnam, Richard Nixon's secret bombing war in Cambodia, the overthrow of the President Salvador Allende of Chile, and the current arms race to Iran and secret Contra war in Central America under President Reagan. And when he says, since Lyndon Johnson, note that he left out the era of John Kennedy, he mentions him later, but the real problems began when the government changed hands as soon as Lyndon Johnson took that oath of office in Dallas. To complete what he said, this accumulation of power has twisted and distorted the Constitution and dealt a body blow to the democratic process. We cannot automatically believe the statements of heads of government. There has been an excessive irresponsible growth in presidential power. The checks and balances exist only in secret bank accounts. If presidential power has grown, presidential effectiveness has not. President Kennedy and his successors have all been failures, and there is something wrong with the system in which we have six failed presidents in sequence. Now, Kennedy only served 1,000 days and had his head blown off, so it's hard to know what the failure was that he had in mind, although he did set up Operation Mongoose and the plans to overthrow Fidel Castro, but he pulled back from the invasion of Cuba, and that was something that this team would never approve of and didn't approve of and blew his head off because of it. In conclusion, he said the concentration of power has made the presidency too burdensome for any one person to wield its power effectively. Quoting a resolution of Parliament to King George III, Lipson said, the powers of the crown have increased, are increasing, and ought to be diminished. And he's hit on a lot of the problems, that they can't be trusted, they're not accountable, except to the president, that their authority exceeds both parties, that they've abused the parties, they've been involved in scandals for 20 years, and societies do break down when we practice things at foreign shores that we don't practice at home. Those societies break apart, and that they're secret societies, and they have maintained themselves through their invisible, no accountability. And the agencies are identified, the shadow organizations, and the secrecy and lack of accountability, he stresses several times, the covert operations. Now, this is a person, a trustee of the World Affairs Council, the Northern Chapter of the World Affairs Council, and this is not any liberal group. These aren't people in Berkeley who should be addressing themselves to the question. This is a group of very, very staunch conservatives who are being told by one of their board of directors the situation exactly as it is. Now, David Emery, I mentioned before, and NipTuck have a program up in the Bay Area, and they've made a series called The Archive Tapes, so that you can get tape cassettes that cover a lot of what I tried to explain in this past article, exemplifies the problems in this country. We have worked on this. I've worked on it for 23 years. I've been on the air 16 years now. And David and Nip have had a series of broadcasts. I'll give you the address, and you can send four titles. They have a three-hour series, 3 to 4 hours, on the very factors that make up that secret team and how they operate. And the fact is, they're not so secret if you want to hear and study them. There's sections on the Aryan Nations, on the Kennedy assassination, the World Anti-Communist League, on AIDS, on who shot the Pope, the terror connection, the CIA and military and narcotics. You can send for these. Send a self-addressed stamped envelope to DAVKORE, DAVKORE, 1300D Space Parkway, Mountain View, 94043. Dave has done a monumental job of making a series of 28, and then he's got more, four more. And then he's got more others that cover this whole era, the period from 1945 when the war was over until the present. And while I cover a lot of subjects each week at World Watchers, and sometimes specifically one subject for the entire hour, if you want to sit back and understand how these things came down again, you can get these series and add to your library of tape collections. The book Inside the League came out just about a year ago, almost a year ago, but currently enough there is a review of it in the San Francisco Chronicle. It happened last Sunday, titled The Dark Side of Patriotism. And this is a picture of John Singh Laub, a member of the World Anti-Communist League, as is Jesse Helms, and Mr. McClure, a member of the House Senate Contra Investigations. If you wonder why he isn't asking questions and he's giving a political stance. But the review is very timely, and they decided where it was suppressed before to bring it out. And it gives you a little insight, if you read Inside the League, about who these secret people are who are manipulating the government. And the review says that it tells a repulsive but riveting story of international Freemasonry of the ultra-right, fascists, Nazis, and racists who make up the World Anti-Communist League. And, of course, Singh Laub is on the board of Western Goals, and he's the main fundraiser for the Contras. It said, lest we forget, Adolf Hitler did exactly the same thing as these activists are doing, justifying their crusade against godless communism. And the review compares the activities of the World Anti-Communist League to the activities that happened with Adolf Hitler. And WACL has 90 branches in 6 continents. And it's a very good review of the depth and breadth of American congressmen and senators and Catholic archbishops and British members of parliament in the World Anti-Communist League. So the review is very timely, a picture of John Singh Laub, The Dark Side of Patriotism, comparing it to Hitler, and it fits in with what members of the World Affairs Council are being shown is a secret team inside our government that will destroy our democracy, and it will destroy any government other than fascism, if it isn't stopped. I'll take 1 minute break and then go on to some of the Iran-Contra material, but I did want to update these other matters with you.